Live from the Average Joe Nation studios in St. Clair, Missouri, this is the Average Joe Podcast, a show that proves that in this crazy world, a combination of common sense and a C plus average is actually a superpower. Sure, he's crazy, but what if he's right? Please welcome your host, Damon Gilbert.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening, whatever it is, wherever you're at. I've got a little bit of cleaning up I need to do. I need to explain a couple of things. One is that I'm not going to have, I've changed my website. I'm going with a place called Substack. So if you're subscribed or if you're on my call list, I'll probably be sending it to you. And you can subscribe on there as opposed to me sending you instant messages, letting you know what I've posted. And I tell you what, it'll be a lot easier for everybody. It'll go straight to your email. And there'll be a select few that get it from a text message. But for the most part, I'm going to make it where it's up to you. If you want to get my content and so forth, you just sign up. You just put your email in there and you'll get a notification of when I've posted something. And right now it's free. So we'll go from there. I don't know when we'll make a transition to a pay wall. I don't know. But anyway, I just thought I'd let you know that my AverageJoeNation.media, I've just done away with that because I tell you what, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I know what my strong points are. I know what lane to stay in. I kind of like doing this, but I don't like spending hours and hours on the tech side of it. Now, let's just say that I had a staff of five or six people working for me. Wouldn't be a big deal. But I'm the only guy. I'm the one running this show, and I can't spend 3 or 4 hours trying to get a button to work on a website that I really don't know how to operate. So I've just decided to give that up. I'm going to go with Substack, which they pretty much take care of all that for you. And again, it's substack.com. You would go there, type my name in, Average Joe Nation, and it should pop right up. So if you're interested in that, and then once you get on there, you can subscribe, and an email will be sent as soon as I post something, whether it be just a blog that I've maybe written or a podcast I've done. So it's up to you. It's up to you. And like I said, for right now, it's free. But eventually I'll probably charge a little bit to subscribe. So anyway, where did I want to start? Oh, yes. I wanted to tell you a little story before I get into it. We're going to talk about Russia and Putin and Alexei Navalny, who was killed. Apparently it's being reported he was killed last night in Russia. He's a opposition leader who was being held in a gulag. So, you know, Russia hasn't changed a whole lot, but we'll get into that here in just a second. But I did want to bring this up. I had an issue with a refrigerator in my home a couple weeks ago. The ice maker quit working. So naturally, you've got all that trouble. You know, you're thinking, oh, God, is it under warranty? And how long is this going to take to get fixed? And who am I going to have to talk to? Well, I got through all of that. I got through all that, which took, you know how it is. If you've ever done this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a real pain in the ass. It really is. You can pretty much cordon off probably your whole morning to do this, and then you may not even get it done, but even after that. But nonetheless, I did finally get through that. Called the folks. They said they would set it up with a repairman in my area. Waited a few days for that. Nobody called back. I called them again. You know how it is, the runaround. Oh yeah, we didn't let you know. We don't have anybody in that area. We're going to have to find somebody in that area. So we'll call you back. And we went through that. This has been, I don't think we've had an ice maker for what, a month? Probably. We've been buying ice. It's not the end of the world. I'm complaining about something that, you know, 100 years ago would have been, people would have thought it was magic. But nonetheless. So, long story short, finally got a hold of a repairman, or the company. They sent a repairman out, and that had some glitches as well. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, they told me 10 o'clock. He'd be here 10 in the morning or after. He showed up at 10 minutes after 10. And I tell you what, folks, I got to tell you. I saw the car pull up, and when I saw a man get out, who looked to be in his 50s, maybe his late 50s, had some gray hair. I was so thankful. I really was. Because I knew this guy's probably been doing this a while. He probably knows the problem. This isn't going to take long. And on top of that, when he says it's fixed, it probably will be, because he's probably done this before. I was so thankful, and I was so correct. He walked in, he knew what it was in a matter of literally minutes, and he fixed it within a half hour, 45 minutes. No new parts needed, no nothing. He knew exactly what he was talking about. He'd been in the business for 48 years. I talked to him at length. Very nice man from a small town just outside of our town. Super nice guy. I couldn't have been happier. Now, where is this going? Why am I telling this story? I'm telling you this story because that is not the way America works anymore. That's not the way the world works. Good service, someone who knows what they're doing, is very rare these days. It really is. I've talked to enough people over the phone, youngsters, in their 20s, they have not nary a clue what they're talking about. They'll read off the script. That's what they do. They read off the script and they try to convince you that you don't know what you're talking about. When most of the time, that couldn't be any further from the truth. Of course I know what I'm talking about. So let's just say, end of the day, I was glad to see an older man get out of the car, because I knew that what I was asking was going to be taken care of. So enough said about that. Then, got to tell you another story. Trip to the dentist. Had to find a new dentist. My dentist retired in my small town. I was recommended to this place, and I couldn't have been more disappointed when I walked in. I won't go into the details of it, but let's just say, and I've said this before, I've dealt with this before, and there's nothing I hate worse than feeling like I'm being taken advantage of. Okay. Now, this was not a one dentist office. It had several dentists in it. You know, you've probably been in them, a conglomerate, a big, you know, a chain, whatever you want to call it. These people are there to create money. They're there to generate revenue. And that's what they attempted to do with me. Always wanting to sell you something more, upsell. We always have to have another appointment. To try and drag it out, try to drag as much money out of you as they possibly can. Just like you're buying a new car. I get so tired of going into places and people not listening to what I say, not listening to what I want, but going into their own, well, basically their program. You know, just like when you buy a new car. It doesn't matter what you want. This is what he's going to sell you. That's how it works. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And it's gotten into every part of business, every business there is. There's always someone trying to upsell you. You got to go talk to the finance manager, and we're having the extended warranty. Same thing here. They took an unbelievable amount of x-rays. They did some other procedures I'd never seen before. And I've been going to the dentist. I take care of my teeth. Don't get me wrong. They may not be the prettiest teeth in the world, but they're pretty good teeth. And I felt like I was being taken advantage of from the very beginning. Plus, I don't know about you, but I don't like being in an office where the background noise sounds like an elementary school lunchroom. You know what I mean? It was loud. Everybody was laughing and carrying on. It was the most uncomfortable I've been in quite some time. So, again, where am I going with all this? I have no idea. I just thought I'd tell you that. I just thought I'd share with you. Because it's that kind of stuff that really makes you wonder where America's headed. It really does. Where are we going to have, who are you going to take your car to get it fixed in the coming years? These guys are all retiring. And we have no one who knows anything. They only know what they've been taught. That's all they know. All they know is what they've been taught and they've been told how to sell it. That's it. It's really sad. It's really sad. Trying to get somebody to work on a carburetor these days. Find a mechanic that knows how to do that on a carburetor, because anymore they're all fuel injected in some high tech thing where you got to put a computer on it. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that too at some point, because the European Commission, the EU, is trying to push through legislation, our regulatory, I don't know what you'd really call it, because that EU is kind of hard to figure out. You've got countries who are independent, but then they have to adhere to any kind of legislation or regulatory laws that the EU puts out. So in this particular instance, they're actually trying to push through regulations that state that you have a car that's over 10 years old, you can't get it repaired. How about that? If you have a vehicle that's older than 10 years, there's a possibility in Europe, in the foreseeable future, you will not be able to get that car worked on. It will be actually against the law for anyone to work on that vehicle. They want you to go out and buy a new vehicle, electric, hopefully, is what they're pushing, naturally, because of the so-called carbon emissions scare and global warming. I don't care what they say. They can call it climate change all they want. They're trying to say that the globe is warming. So now they want you to go out and buy a new car and finance it and have a limited range. Do you see what's happening here? They're trying to control you. That's what they're trying to do. So we're going to talk at length about that later. I know I got off on a tangent here, but I want to get back to what I really wanted to talk about. And that is, I was watching, and I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't, you really need to. There's a Tucker Carlson, not the interview with Putin, but while he was over there, he did a few other segments. And in one in particular one, he went to a subway in Moscow. Okay? A subway. So, if you've ever been to a subway, or you've ever been in any kind of public transportation, you know what I'm talking about. If you go to New York, or if you go to, well, even in St. Louis, we've got Metrolink, which is, you're taking your life in your hands to get on that thing. It's filthy. Graffiti everywhere. It stinks. There's low-life scumbags hanging around. You really are risking your life when you use public transportation for the most part, be it a bus or especially in the big cities. So Tucker Carlson decides to go to the subway in Moscow. And folks, I've seen the interview. I've seen the footage. It was absolutely a beautiful place. It really was. Architecture. Now, this was built by Stalin 70 years ago. 70 years ago. And it looked brand new. There was no graffiti. There was no people. There weren't any homeless sitting in the in the hallways. He said it didn't stink. People were bustling around. It really looked nice. It was very clean. So my question is this: is it possible? And I could be wrong on this, but there was a time back during the 50s and 60s, where the Soviet Union was pretty powerful. They were an up-and-coming, a nation. They were a force to be reckoned with. But in their country at that time, they had the same problems we've got today. Drunks all over the place, trash laying around, infrastructure's falling apart. You've got booze everywhere. You've got alcoholics. It was a mess. It was disgusting. It was dirty. And now all of a sudden we've made this change. So my question is this: is it possible that America is becoming the old Soviet Union? And think about that. If you go to any public place today, it looks run down. it's usually got, it's trashy. Our infrastructure is falling apart. We've got homeless everywhere. Drugs are everywhere. Is it possible the pendulum is swinging back? Maybe we're not as great as we thought we were. And I don't want to even go into the politics of this, because between Russia, and when you get into the government part, Russia and the United States, there's no difference. There just isn't. They're all corrupt. Both of them are. Putin's not a nice guy, okay? He's not. And believe me, I saw the interview with him and Tucker Carlson. Tucker did a great job. Putin came across as a very competent leader. That doesn't make him a good guy, okay? I'm not here to applaud. I'm not here to push Putin. You know, I'm not. I'm saying that the people of Russia and the people, especially in Moscow, seem to be living in a better environment than you and I are right now. And it scares me to death. It does. I saw this and it was eye-opening. I couldn't believe it. I had these visions of Russia being like what I'd seen in every movie that's ever been made. Dark, dingy, run down. That couldn't have been any further from the truth. I was flabbergasted. We've been told that these are evil people. You know, is there any difference between the federal government in the United States and the government in Russia? I don't think there is. I don't think there is. No one's wearing a white hat. They're just not. Now, is Russia worse than we are? Degrees of gray? I'm not going to get into that. But if you think the United States is, especially, now, again, I want to make sure I'm clear here. I want to make sure I'm clear so that I don't get any flack over this. I am not a Russian apologist. I'm not. I'm not a Putin apologist. I'm not. Because at the end of the day, these people, he is not a good guy. He will kill you if he gets the chance. If you get in his way, your life expectancy is pretty short. But that could be said about the Clintons in the United States. That could be said about the Bidens, too. Nobody's wearing a white hat. Nobody's here to save us, folks. They do not care. They never have. They never will. So then moving on, Tucker Carlson also did, and this one I thought was really interesting. Tucker Carlson actually visited a grocery store in Moscow and did some shopping. Now, we've been told through sanctions and so forth that over the invasion of Ukraine, and don't give me any of that crap about Ukraine, that Russia's terrible. We invaded Iran or Iraq. We invaded Afghanistan. We went in and killed Gaddafi in Libya. We're no better than anybody else. So that aside, we were told that because of the sanctions that we put on Russia, because of the invasion of Ukraine, that the Russian people were suffering, right? We did that to put pressure on them. Well, if you believe what Tucker Carlson did when he went into a grocery store, they had everything. They had everything. It looked like, other than the language, you couldn't have really told any difference between that and a Schnucks or a Piggly Wiggly or you name any grocery store. It all looked the same. Here's the interesting thing, though. He decided to shop like he was shopping for a family of four for a week. He bought wine, he bought bread, he bought meat, he bought nothing was out. I mean, remember during the pandemic, we had shelves empty. Not in Russia. He didn't point any of that out. You could see it. They were all full. So he shopped. He spent what he thought was probably around $400 US. Okay. That seems a little high for a week, but nonetheless, went up, paid for it, $100, a little over $100. How about that? What's that tell you about the way things work? Are we being lied to? Are we being lied to? You know, Biden stands up there and talks about shrinkflation. Somehow or other, that's what's causing all our problems in the United States. Oh, they're shrinking the size of the item you're getting to keep the price the same. It doesn't make any difference. You do the math on that. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as raising the price and keeping the size bigger. Now, Biden acts like somehow or other he discovered this on his own. They've been doing that for years. They've been doing that for years. And they do that for a number of reasons. They have very few choices in this matter. Very, very few avenues. They've got like three choices. They can either raise the price, which nobody likes, or they can fire people, lay people off to make up the difference, or they can make the container smaller and put less product in it and keep the price the same. They opted for the third one. A lot of companies have done this. Biden just acted like he just discovered this, which tells you how clueless he is about how things work in the world. So anyway, bottom line is, I was kind of impressed with I guess, the living conditions in Russia. I've been told a lie again, which I now you've got a guy over there, Tucker Carlson, who I was never a big fan of his. He started out at MSNBC, moved to CNN, you know, whatever. But I think he's come a long ways. I think he was actually over there to tell the truth. That's what I really believe. So he opened my eyes. He opened my eyes and he's radicalized my thought process of the federal government. They're the ones causing this. They're the ones causing this problem. When you go from a energy independent country, under the Trump administration, we were making more energy, creating more energy than we used. Prices were lower. Price of gas was lower. Business was good. Things were going along pretty good. Interest rates were low. Unemployment was low. And what happens? You know, after this perfect election in 2020 that everybody talks about, honk, honk, you know what I'm saying. After that, we've got Joe Biden shows up. And what's he doing his first 2 days of being in office? He cancels the Keystone Pipeline, which immediately made the cost of fuel rise. And when the cost of fuel rises, everything goes up. Everything. We are not energy independent anymore. Russia is energy independent. They used to say it's a gas station with nuclear weapons. They used to make fun of Russia saying that. Yes, they have lots of they have lots of energy. They have lots of oil, a lot of natural resources. Nothing wrong with that. Guess what? They're energy independent. They're actually selling energy to other countries. Nothing wrong with that. So you can go in and buy $400 worth of food that would cost $400 in the United States for $100 in Russia. Now, you'll hear the left saying, well, their standard of living is lower and it doesn't cost, you know, it's really irrelevant. The point is, Tucker's saying it's cheaper to live in Russia. It really is. So I was really amazed at that. It radicalized my whole thought process of Russia. It really did. And it also strengthened my belief system in the fact that the federal government in our country, they do not care about us at all. And this just reaffirmed that. I've known that for years. But every once in a while, you'll have something that reinforces that belief system. And this is one of them. I was really, really, really disappointed over that. So anyway, what I want to get to mainly here, I'm already 24 minutes into this. I apologize. I had to throw all it in. I haven't talked to you in a couple of days. So Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, I guess it is. Yeah. Reportedly, he's died. He was a 41-year-old lawyer. He was turned blogger, YouTuber, protest organizer, anti-corruption activist, and the face of Russian opposition. So needless to say, he was probably not well-liked by Vladimir Putin. What do you think? They threw him in jail because of his extremism. So again, we're back to the fact that Russia does not have a First Amendment. And I'm not sure the United States has one either. Every time I do one of these podcasts, and I know it's not like I'm Joe Rogan or somebody like that, but you wonder sometimes, is this ever going to be on my social credit score? What would my social credit score be like if I lived in China and I was making a recording like this that points out some of the deficiencies in the federal government? They would probably come after me. And there's no guarantee they won't at some point. But back to Alexei. What I wanted to point out is the fact that he actually, if you look at his belief system and some of the things that he's talked about in the past, he was anti-immigration. He didn't think the invasion of Ukraine was a good idea. He's an anti-corruption. He was the head of the Anti-Corruption Foundation, the FBK. They're trying to make this guy in the West, they're trying to make him out to be a Western liberal type. That couldn't be any further from the truth. This guy sounds like Trump, is what he sounds like. He's a populist. Navalny is his name. Yeah. He said that Putin was sucking the blood out of Russia. That's what he said. He said he was trying to turn Russia into a feudal system again, where you have the oligarchs and then you have everybody else who is poor. Who's that sound like? Who's that sound like that says unchecked immigration is a bad idea? That maybe people are sending their worst here. Maybe the people that are coming in across the southern border are not here for good reasons. Who said that? I believe that was Donald Trump. I'm not 100% sure. So to paint this guy as a Western liberal, you're out of your mind. No, he's not. He's a populist. Navalny was a populist. There's no doubt about it. And he is the equivalent of, I guess Donald Trump, as I said before. The problem is that he was barred from running against Vladimir Putin in 2018. Well, who's that sound like? What country does that sound like? Right? It says Navalny, who was 47, had long sought to challenge Vladimir Putin at the ballot box, but he was barred from running in 2018's presidential election. Next month, Russia's leader will stand unchallenged by any meaningful opposition. Who's that sound like? What country does that sound like? And what's funny is you've got Biden's got the balls to say something. What did he say? He said U.S. President Joseph Biden said if the reports were true, then Vladimir Putin was responsible. What has happened is yet more proof of Putin's brutality. That's pretty fucking rich coming from a guy like that. They would love to put a bullet into Donald Trump. They would. So we are falling off a cliff here. And you've got one populist candidate who is basically killed in Russia, and you've got another populist candidate in the United States that they are trying to grind into dust in the United States. So when we talk about corruption, we need to be careful who we talk about and who we compare ourselves to in the United States, because we're no better than they are. We aren't. It's a corrupt system. It's a corrupt system at both levels, be it in Russia, be it here, be it anywhere, Ukraine, anywhere. Yeah, we're no better than they are. We really aren't. So that's all I got today. Be sure and click that little subscribe button. That way you'll be notified by email that I have a new post out. And we will see you again tomorrow. Have a good day.
As always, thanks for listening to the Average Joe podcast. Be sure to check out our website at www.averagejoenation.media and follow us on social media. Remember, if you haven't told all your friends, you're wrong.